do worship Him for who He is. Amen. He's worthy to be worshipped. Whether He does another thing for you or not.
That's right.
He's worthy. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, son. If things go well today, we'll be in Matthew 28:18, if I get that far or not. You want to throw the switches up there for me? Thank you. The other one. There you go. Thank you. I want to share with you an incident that happened yesterday. Last night the Lord was speaking to me about it to share with you today. I pray that you'll be encouraged by it. If not, I'll enjoy telling you the story anyway. Our routine on Saturdays at our house, normal routine, unless it's Lions Club's having their breakfasts, is I wake up in the morning, I'll make my way out to our living room, and I'll get my coffee and have my morning prayer, and Carol will be in the bedroom, have her morning prayer. And then sooner or later, she'll venture out into the living room, and by then I've selected which Columbo movie we want to watch. I'm a fan of Columbo, if anybody remember him or not. He's a detective. I've seen every, made 69 different movies, and I've seen all 69 of them. So we pick out which one we're going to watch for the day, and we'll start it, and halfway through it, we'll go out and have breakfast, bring the breakfast in. And it's probably 3 hours before you really think anybody's alive in our house. That's just a routine we've been into for a while. Not every Saturday. Well, yesterday, during a commercial break, I checked my phone, and I had a text from my sister. She says, "Hey, if you haven't seen my dog, Kipper, he took off." That was all said. Well, Kipper is a New Yorkie, weighs 6 pounds. But like our old dog was, Kelsey, and she can't see very well anymore. We had to put Kelsey down a couple of weeks ago. You can't hear. And look at a rat. I mean, a little rat. Used to be, you go down to visit her, and the boing, boing. Now it just moves like, hey. And my sister lives about 300 yards from our house around a curve on a small farm. And so since she said that Kelsey was missing, boy, I got up and started putting my boots on, wearing my pajamas, and started praying, "Lord, just put your angel around this little doggy and watch over and keep him safe and kill him to get dressed and stuff." And it took me about 3 minutes, and walked to the deck, pulled the curtains back. Or normally I'd be out on our deck, but it was too cold. And that little doggy was sitting on our back deck, looking at the door. I mean, amazing! Oh wow! I opened the door up and I had to pick it up. And he came in, and we were blessed having our carpet cleaned while we were in Virginia. We didn't care, but that dog walked around. He's trying to find our doggy, looking around and stuff. Well, I thought, man, my sister's going to rejoice over this. I picked up my phone to call her while Carol got a blanket and put around the doggie and started getting warmed up. I mean, it was ugly looking. It's not nice looking any time, but I mean, it was, man, you got to realize between our house and her house, there's corn fields, about a 35-acre corn field. We have a hay field that only mowed once this year, and we've got coyote, we've got bobcat, we've got all kind of birds flying around. I mean, how does this little thing make it up there? Man. So I called my sister. Of course, no answer. She's out trying to find the dog. And so we hopped in our van and drove down and come around the knoll of the hill. She's looking all around because they put a new fence out there, and they got fence holes like this, and I think the dog fell in there. And I have no idea how long the dog been missing. But we pulled up, and that little dog head was in that blanket out the window like that, and my sister seen it. Man, you talk about joy. Oh, wow. We're just rejoicing over it. And eventually we made it back down to the house, and we was talking for a while. And I don't want to be my brother-in-law. He was gone at that time. He left earlier in the morning. But apparently he didn't close the gate all the way. And my sister turned the dog loose in the backyard in that little gate there, and he took off. And I had no way of getting hold of my brother-in-law and say, "Listen, buddy, candy and flowers when you come home, because she's on a warpath." But you start thinking for a moment, and I mean, this doggy's been there. She's 16 years old, roughly. Beautiful playground, all fenced in. They feed her every doctor appointment. Same barber we had for our dog, Missy, down there. I mean, he's got toys. He's got everything you think of that you ever would want. Why would it take off? Opportunity. Sheltered. Everything you needed. But that door is open, like, boom! Now, she took off before a couple of times years ago when I was there, and I could not catch that thing. You know, I can't hardly walk sometimes. I'm running. But now it's real slow. And I'm thinking, how did it make it up to her house? Now, one thing I'll say right away, I'm not sure when my sister noticed that the dog was missing or not, but I know it's going to be panic. Oh, where is that? Oh, man. She called her my neighbor, which is her daughter, Tracy. Come help me find it. Help me find it. And then when she reached out to us, the first thing we did was pray. We're trying to get dressed. You ever try to get dressed and pray at the same time? It's quite possible, okay? Amen. That's what we respond to. That's what we do. And so when they were trying to take care of things down there, when they called us, we had more opportunity to, let's pray. You ever been that way before, being in a panic? Maybe couldn't quite figure out what to do. You call somebody, hey, just pray. I got to take care of things. Amen. It's very important. Prayer is very important. I'm thinking a couple of things here. Is number one, if my sister would have thought, man, I ought to get a hold of Starkey, but oh, 9:45, he's watching Columbo. I don't want to bother him. I don't want to disturb him today, you know. What would have happened? I could tell on that deck. There's a little paw prints. It's been there for a little while, going around in circles. Okay? So it's been there for a while. But if my sister had not called me, it could have been 3 hours if I was in the kitchen to open that curtain up. You know what I'm saying? It could have been 4 hours. I mean, we had 68 degrees in the house, so I hadn't turned my furnace on yet. And so I wasn't going to sit on the deck. But look what took place because she contacted somebody saying, hey, listen. Politely saying, hey, I need help, otherwise, hey, if you see the dog up there, let me know. That's how I'm thinking, that dog. Folks, you ever been in a cornfield? Some of you have. Now, this is a small cornfield, probably 35 acres, okay, which is small compared to mother sister's place. But, folks, if you've ever walked through a cornfield, and if you're ever a coon hunt or whatever, and you want to go across there, man, you got to have a line of vision and keep walking. Could you stop for a moment, you know? Oh, sit down, take a break, get back up again. Which way was I going? You know? And can you imagine this doggy? She ain't this tall. How petrified she had to be in that hay field. I mean, it was only mowed once this year. They didn't bale it this year or nothing. I'm thinking, wow, what brought her to our house? Prayer. But then I went back 4 years ago. Now this dog has never been in our house except for once 4 years ago. And my sister was leaving on vacation, her and the entire family. Choop. I mean, everybody, all the kids, grandkids and stuff. Anyway, it was going south on vacation. Hey, would you dog sit for us? Yeah. Well, time we got done dog sitting, we had the dog up there, we had the great grandkids rabbit, we had all kinds of stuff. We had Kelsey. And during this time, the dog that was missing was his birthday. So we had a birthday party. And we put hats on the rabbit and our dogs and stuff. I mean, we just had a great, we had treats, we had food. I mean, God, hey, we're all we got. The kids are gone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's either that or watch Columbo again. But we're doing all this, you know, and then took the doggy home. I wonder if instinct kicked in. It could have been. It could be, yes, you know. Somewhere up there, like, where she was leaving, where she was running, walking or whatever, something felt familiar. Something drew her back to where she was at 4 years ago. Knowing, hey, listen, that was a peaceful place. That's what I needed. That's what I need. And as we're praying, man, here comes that dog. Boom. Back. And we're able to bring the doggy home. In our lives today, we might be thinking the same thing. Maybe you're sitting here today saying, man, I had it made at one time. House, food, clothing, friends, job, everything I needed. But man, that door came open, and I walked through it. Now look at me. Now look at me. Man, I have nothing. But the same with that little doggy, though. You ever think about that? Doggy had it all, lost it all, then he got a desire to get it all back again. But somewhere, through that cornfield, through that hayfield, he had to see our house from a distance. He had to keep their eyeballs on that house. No matter what came its way, another creek to cross over or whatever, it wasn't going to stop until he made it back to that house because he had a desire to be there. And that's the same in our lives today. No matter how bad your life is messed up, put your eyes back on the cross of Jesus and don't let anything interfere with you. Nothing interfere with you. It's easy. If you're going through a hard time right now, and let's say you're going through, please imagine in your head, you're walking through this cornfield. If you're going to walk through a cornfield in the morning, it's wet, it cuts you, it is terrible. And I got to keep going that way. And all of a sudden you find an open spot, coon, and knock down four or five of them, the corn stalks. Oh, you're going to rest for a while. And then you start thinking, well, you really wasn't that bad. It's really not that bad. And so still continuing to go through that cornfield, go in the right direction, we'll easily find ourselves going back. Why? Because behind you, you're familiar with it. You're not quite sure what's ahead of you. It can be scary. But back here, I know, it's not the greatest back here, but at least, oh man, I'm comfortable in there. But I'm telling you, we have to get to the point in our lives that we're sick and tired of being comfortable in our old ways and look toward the cross. No matter what takes place, follow Jesus. Well, we all need a break once in a while. But we can take our eyes off the cross. We never have an excuse to take our eyes off the cross of Jesus. We can take a break, but our eyes got to be on it. We got to rest for a while, but our eyes got to be on it. We can't remove the Word of God out of our life. We can't remove our walking with Him for a moment, take a vacation from it. Because, man, we are creatures of habit. And next thing you know, somebody's going to leave that gate open. That temptation's going to come around again. I'll guarantee you, my brother, it'll be a long time before you leave that gate open again. Keep him in your prayers, okay? But he'll learn from that. But what we have to do is learn too. And we've all been down that road. Maybe you're not down that road right now today, but you've been there before where you had it all, man, got it. You've been lifted up, you had everything, and next thing you know, boom, you lost it. But my question to you today, did you truly have it? Or did it have you? Did it have a hold of you so much that he's going to sacrifice anything you had just to keep whatever this thing is? But we keep our eyes on the cross, he says. That little doggy, I mean, my lands. I mean, he should have been devoured. It should have been on somebody's lunch table. Well, not somebody's, but you know what I'm saying? I'm surprised he didn't fly over with a hawk hat, you know? But he didn't. He survived it. You're here today because you survived some nasty stuff in your life. You have been through a whole lot of stuff today. But I'm telling you what, God said, come on, let's continue going. But get your eyes on the cross. No compromise. That's where we fall in at. We find this resting spot. We sit down. And that's it. And then we forget why we was going, where we was going in the first place. Why was we headed toward the cross? Why was we listening to Jesus? We get melancholy. And we start losing some of our friends, maybe. Because, well, you're different now. But folks, when that happens, you lose your friend. Understand what you're trying to find, they need also. Jesus is for everybody, and everybody needs the Master. He's just not acknowledging it yet. But you need Him. And today, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, man, what's wrong with my kids? God, what's wrong, man? I raised them. I fed them. We ate hot dogs a lot, maybe macaroni and cheese, but we ate. Had a place to live. What happened, Lord? Well, a gate come open. It wasn't was they weren't not appreciative of what you had. But what's on the other side? And they went through that gate. And we knew what's on the other side. The same stuff that you and I went through way before they were born. Amen? And they're running right now. And maybe their lives look pretty ugly to you right now. They look like that little Yorkie. Corn stalks hanging off of it, matted down. Like, stinking. Oh, I'm telling you what, man. But I'm telling you what, don't give up. Go down around the road somewhere, somebody, as you continue to pray, God will have somebody intervene in their life. They're going to find someone out there that God's going to use them to pick them up and wrap them in their arms. And next thing you know, they're going to be bringing them back to you as they brought themselves to Jesus Christ. And folks, when they show up, when they come walking in, do what my sister did and rejoice. Grab that stinking dog, rub his head, and say, I'm glad you're home. Then help keep that gate closed again. That dog was ready to come home. I'm telling you what. I told Carol I should have gave her a couple of treats, but I did that years ago to a dog that we had. We called him Spartacus. Nice dog. Outside dog. It was a lab dog. Not a lab, but... was that a cross between the lab and the Rottweiler? The Rottweiler got attacked by our neighbor's dog. They had an affair, and this dog was produced. Very smart dog, okay? I know. We live in the country, Lynn. I mean, it's just different out there, you know. And we went for doggy support, too. But anyway, it got loose once. Came up the back porch, and we have a deck then, and, hey, buddy, what are you doing? So what did I do? Here's a treat. Come on. Took him back down, and we kept him tied up during the evening and stuff, you know, because of nighttime. Well, that dog found out how to get out of that leash, that collar, and every day he'd be out there. But one day, apparently he got out of it and must have came up to the house. We weren't there, so he started walking up down the road somewhere. And that's been 20 years ago. He still ain't home yet. So, and I think what happened was that we had a lot of rabbit hunters out there in our area at the time run their dogs and stuff. And I think they saw this awesome-looking dog with no collar figure. Somebody dumped him off and took him home. That's what we think. I thought he might come back, but Carol says 20 years old would be too old for the dog to return home and stuff. But the thing of it is just... we're the same as that little doggy was, or our kids are the same way. When you think it's all over, there's no hope. Because you imagine all these things taking place. We have a blessed hope through Christ Jesus. Now, again, if it matters to you, it matters to Him. In fact, it matters to Him whether it matters to you or not. But prayer is a very powerful weapon that we have. And we got to learn to execute that prayer and have faith in it. And faith in one another. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was sick last week. I did too much weed eating. My allergies and stuff were terrible. But I asked a couple of weeks ago to share with me your heart. What keeps you up at nighttime praying? What do you intercede in? How can I pray with you? How can we find scriptures to stand on? I mean, to take our prayer life to the next level, to where you are, it is 2 o'clock in the morning, and you find yourself praying. You're up in the morning and praying, and I've had a couple of responses so far. So again, I ask you, if you do have what is burning your heart? I won't ask you if you do have one, because if you're a born again believer, you have stuff on your heart right now. But if you have something you want to share with me, I'll come alongside of you. I'll find the scriptures with you to stand on it. Not, you know, this or that. What do you have right now? You know, I'm not looking for a list that's 40 long and, you know, 40 names long when you don't even pray for them yourself. I'm looking at one or two things, a thing that, man, that you're just, you want help with it. And we'll show you what God can do. And I tried to share a couple of weeks ago about Vicky's husband, Steve. Again, just try to encourage everybody. I mean, when he's going through her training, I was sharing that a couple of weeks ago. And part of our training was to pick out someone to pray for a month. And, of course, we were doing training but for pastoral, but we wasn't allowed to share that part of it. Of course, he didn't know we didn't talk anyway. But so we had to write down on a piece of paper who we were going to pray for. And then we interceded and prayed for that person for 30 days. And it turned out to be when we had our class again, we both was praying for the same person, Steve McKee. And Steve had an issue of alcohol and stuff in his life. And I got permission from Vicky to share this. He, yeah, good guy, but boy, he just had a trouble with alcohol and was interceding. And he had delivered from alcohol. He came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. His name written in the book of life. We started where our church was out home, and he helped build the restroom in our church. And about 12 years ago, Vicky, how long? 15 years ago, he entered the kingdom of God, but all because of prayer. Now, it wasn't just me and Carol praying. Vicky's been praying. Her elbows was probably falling off of her from praying. But it's the teamwork coming together and praying. And she would pray one way. And of course, we'd be praying another way, how God led us. So, again, showing you guys that prayer is very powerful, and not to be afraid to tag someone as a prayer partner to pray with you. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be in face for one another like this and pray together. I'll be praying at home my prayer time, bringing up your petitions to the Lord, interceding for you. See what the Lord shows me, what scriptures I can stand on. Because God's word is very powerful. Understand that. Spoken in faith, that word is very, very powerful. His word, let's say, guns. Let's say you got a 250, a 12 gauge. 22, whatever it might be, you got this cartridge laying right here. Boom. That'd be like this. That'd be your Bible, okay? Very powerful bullet, okay? But it won't do nothing unless I chamber it into the gun and pull the trigger. Very, very powerful right here. You get nothing more powerful than the Word of God. But it just lays here, and unless we chamber it, we're bringing it to our prayer life, and we speak it out and we stand on it. And I'll tell you what, the more difficult the situation is, the more unlikely that this person is going to change your life. Man, that's where God really flourishes at. That's how important His Word is. So, far as I know today, my brother-in-law still has a place to live, and the doggy's still there. But in Matthew 28:18, Miss Powell there for a couple of minutes. I believe I'm in the Passion Translation. It says, "And Jesus came close to them and said to the disciples, 'All the authority of the universe have been given to me.'" All the authority. There's nothing that the Master does not have authority of in the universe. Not just the earth, the universe. Now he says, "I go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." I think it's in the original Hebrew, I want to say, is where it is documented, teach them, or go in my authority. The other translation does not have that in there. But each one of us who are following Jesus, who are born-again believers, we have the same authority that Jesus has. Why? We have His name. We have His blood. We have His Spirit. So basically, there's nothing that can come against us that we can't overcome because of what He's done for us. There's nothing impossible for this nation to turn around because of power given to the church. and we stand up and intercede for him. You might feel powerless right now at times. Like, what can I do? Pray. But the second part is just as important. He says in verse 20, and teach them to faithfully follow. Faithfully follow. That's a key. Otherwise, follow Jesus. In season and out of season. Good times and bad times. Days off and working days. Faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, Jesus says. Teach us. You gather here on Sundays. You listen to the Word of God. On Monday, when you read the Word of God, and Tuesday, that Word, man, it speaks to your spirit. It is receiving it. And the awesome thing about it, remember, is that you decided to follow Jesus, did you not? If we sing a song like that, I won't sing it to you. But that's so important to each one of us. I don't think anyone got drugged in the church this morning. I don't think so. You know, I said that years ago. I was talking about this similar topic. A youngster and a couple of folks on the front row. I said, I don't imagine anybody got drugged in the church today. And the guy said, I did. The girlfriend made him come. I said, okay, well, thank God you're honest. You know, but we come and we want to follow Jesus, but we want to know how to do it. And the instructions right there in that Bible. You know, if we want to follow him, everything we want. It's being consumed by him. Your thought life is consumed by him. Like I said earlier, remember we got, I think I said this before we got started. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything you're going to do today, Mary, it's a cliche. What would Jesus do? You're going to shoot pool today? What would Jesus do? Okay, Jesus probably shoot pool. I'm not saying the wrong thing. Okay, what kind of vocabulary are we going to have? You're going to pay for $20? If you do, tithe off of it, you win, okay? I won't cover your losses. But everything. See how important it is? Because you're reflecting Jesus. If you're following him, his word, man, you're consumed by this word. Everywhere you go, man, man, boom, hollow ground. Why? Because Christ is in you. Now, if you find yourself going places and you're not living for Jesus, don't go there. If temptation's too great, or you go in there, there's somebody there, I just can't stand, I'm not going. Don't go there. If you have to, stay away from them. Don't let nothing come in between you and your relationship with Jesus. Have you been offended? Have you been wrong? Shake it off. Shake it off. You're going to be wrong more. You're going to be more offended. The days that we are in, you're going to be more offended. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be more and more offended by people because anybody will stand you. Why? Because the world, man, has fallen farther and farther away from God. And here we are. We have been commissioned by Jesus to represent him, to share his love. You'll find yourself saying, hey, good morning. Now, shut up. Okay. But still, have a good morning. You know, I'm going to yell back at you. Yeah. Hey, good morning. Ah, shut up. Oh! Is that showing the love of Jesus? No. You down the road a little bit farther. Man, why does it mean that guy? He always said it was good morning. I sat here last night for prayer for a while, and the sun was going down. And it was still kind of bright, though. And people would go past, and some would be like this guy having my music playing out there sitting on a chair and hey, how you doing? And I had a few people speak to me. Some of them just like, watch out to the guy. You know? And some of them having tough times, I know. And one guy went past me once. I said, hey, how you doing? And we come back up the street, went clear around the other side and went around there, you know. But, you know, he probably had something heavy on his heart, you know. I was hoping he would stop, I could share. I found out Riverview prom was last, not prom, but their homecoming was last night. I talked to some of the youngsters about that and stuff. But you just, wherever you go, man, you just take the territory for the master. Because he has given you all authority. Gone to you. Now, but we had to do that authority. You have to get faith in that, Dixie. You know? I mean, who are you, in a way, to have Jesus give you all his authority? Who am I? Well, we're a child of God, we're born again. And all that authority, the Lord helped me use it correctly. How do you learn how to use it correctly? To to the Word of God. Man. What are you struggling in your life today? Okay, God, show me that weapon I've got in here. Show me that word I can stand on. Ooh, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Oh, thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against you. Meaning that Satan will come after you, okay? But don't open the door up for him, okay? Don't step into the arena and say, come on, Satan, come on. Nah, we let the Lord fight our battles, amen? But when that weapon is formed against you, if you stay on the Word of God, it's not going to prosper. How does it prosper? By shutting you down, by taking it away from you, by getting you scared. Getting to the point, say, well, why should I pray this morning, Rita? Why should I pray? I prayed yesterday, and look at what's going on today. How much was prevented by your prayer? How much worse would it have been if you hadn't interceded and prayed for yourself? Number one, don't forget to pray for yourself. We have to be healthy ourselves in order to reach out to other people. But we want to believe this word. In Romans 10:17 I want to go to. I'll get there. If it's not, I'll tell you. And from the Passion Translation, it says Romans 10:17. And part of your Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Something close to that. The Passion says, now faith, then, is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. Think of that. Faith then is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. When you hear that word, it's just not just hearing it, then responding to it. Wow, faith comes that way. We build up faith a lot by what when we hear one another testify. Faith is built up every time we hear the Word of God, learning to trust the Word of God. You know, in our young walk, I know what the Word of God says, but why? Because we don't have that faith in there yet. And faith comes by hearing it. And one quick story here, and I'll conclude. But you ever have faith in somebody? And it took time to build it up. I remember as a youngster in law enforcement, been on the road a couple of years maybe. I had an ordeal out on 7th Street. And a big fight was going on, domestic violence, man. I got in there. Right at 11 o'clock, I get there. And, man, they're just going at it. So I grab a hold of the guy, beating on his wife, and we got into a fight. Man, we went through the door, went through a glass window. I got my radio on. Can I need a code 10? Code 10 means I need assistance. Code 44 means I need help big time, but code 10. And when I'm fighting this guy, I mean, you got to go back in time. I'm 149 pounds right then, okay? After this year, I purposely gained 25 pounds, went to the gym, worked out, jiu-jitsu, okay? And this guy, man, he is throwing me around like a rag. You know, I'm hanging on to him. Now I'm getting upset. The sergeant's yelling for backup, and no one's showing up. Like 3 or 4 minutes, county, I need a code 10 out here. And they're not answering me. All of a sudden, the doorway went blank. I seen this massive paw come down, grab this guy, boom! He went out in the street, grabbed the guy, and shoved in my cruiser, and came and picked me up. I met a guy that night named Mike Rusk. Mike was our deputy for years and years. Big guy at that time, he was 500 pounds probably. He had an apartment, or he had a house, him and his wife out there by Gibbon Dawson's. He had the scanner on, and he heard me out for help. And I tell you, from that point on, the faith that I had in my fellow brothers and sisters, it grew. I knew they'd be there for me. Why wasn't anyone else there? Well, they just come to back me up, and over at 4th and Chestnut, one was coming this way, one's coming this way, and they collided. They totaled 2 cruisers and took their front steps off the Presbyterian Church trying to get to him because the sergeant needed help. But the faith I had, I mean, it never wavered for the next 40 years. I knew they'd be there for me. And folks, it's the same way with the Word of God. As we hear that Word of God, as we exercise that Word of God, we stand on that faith. We know that when we pray, we have that confidence that God will do what He will do. We're only humans, okay? We could fail one another, but God's Word would never fail us. As you grab your radio and say, God, code 10, code 10, He'll be there for you. Have that confidence in that. But Everything we'll do, and we'll talk about this next week in our prayer life, is all based upon faith. We have to grow our faith. The Master speaks many, many times, by your faith, let it be. As your faith, let it be. You got to have confidence in His Word. And then stand on that. No matter how the circumstances change, no matter if things get worse, because as you pray, you stand on the Word of God. As you decide, I'm going to line up the Word of God, I'm going to keep my eyes on that cross, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the things of this world starts falling away from you. Man, I was doing okay last week. I repented for my sins and started following Jesus. I don't have a job no more. I don't have an apartment no more. Okay. That doesn't change God at all. You know, the things that you're getting, you get illegal anyway, or you get them outside the Word of God. Those things are going to perish. One thing every one of us is going to do someday is step into eternity. Every one of us. Eternal life. Every one of us guaranteed that. Some of us will be in heaven with Jesus. Some of us will be in hell for eternity. But man, I tell you what, we're going to be spending it somewhere. I want to spend mine with Jesus. You know, not just in heaven, I want to spend it right now. You know, I want to get to heaven some war stories. You know, I mean, I don't think we can match Jesus' war stories, probably. Or Brother Paul. Yeah, they beat me to death, threw me out there, but come back to life. You know? I said, well, I was pulling Walmart one time in the parking lot near the front, and somebody cut me off, took my parking spot. And I didn't cuss at her. I told her, have a good day. But still a victory, right? And whatever it might be. This week, you're going to encounter a lot of things coming your way. You're going to encounter some awesome things. Some things are going to come your way to derail you. Do fibergas you. You might get back wherever you're living at and talk to your neighbors and stuff. And they say, oh man, look what I did today. I did this, this, and this. And how about you? Well, I lost my job. Oh yeah. Yep. But the Lord will provide something for me. See, our rewards. We get rewarded here on earth, but our rewards will be in heaven. And soon, I cannot tell you more and more, very soon He's coming back. He's coming back for His bride without spot or wrinkle. Coming for those who honor Him. So you need to be encouraged one another. You see one of us slipping? Get a word, brother. Say, man, listen, or sister. Come on. Let me make it farther. Because Satan ain't stopping. His time is so short. And so is your time. Here on earth is very short. There's not one thing that has to take place before the Master comes back. If you've been thinking about committing your life to Jesus and we're getting back with Him, maybe you fell away and stuff, today's the day. It's today when you turn around and say, I'm going to follow Christ. I don't care what it's going to cost me. It cost you more than it ever cost me. And you commit your life to Him. But for your loved ones or neighbors who don't know Jesus yet, time is short for them. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't let them. Satan will use them to try to derail you. He'll use them to try to get you not to want to pray for them anymore. And it's tough to have good neighbors. It can be. I'm blessed. I live out my relatives and stuff. But remember, that's your ministry, is praying for them. Waiting for an opportunity to share that gospel. We're praying that maybe your neighbors just don't like you. Maybe they don't like you because you got a dog or you got a cat. Still pray for your neighbors and pray that God will send workers across their path that could receive the truth to them. But don't let bitterness or hatred get in our hearts. The world's got enough of that. We don't need that. But building faith is what we'll be building on next week in our prayer life. Again, if you have a burden on your life, your prayer life, and you want to share that with me, if you want to write it down, give it to me next week. I'll find scriptures, or you can tell me what scriptures you're standing on, and we'll intercede together and really watch the hand of God move. It's going to be awesome. It truly is. God's getting the warriors ready. Getting ready for what's coming upon our nation right now. I pray that you're prepared spiritually, staying in the Word of God. be prepared with things at the home that you can get along for a few days, a few weeks maybe, without going to Walmart, places like that. I encourage you, if you do take prescription medication, if you have the opportunity to get some in advance, to have it available for you. Because they're going to try another squeeze play before long. And don't let it take you off guard. But our God, the powerful God, He's a merciful God. But folks, He's a holy God. And He shall be honored. And His Son will not be disrespected. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. We just thank You for the word You've given us and encouragement, Father. Even the word You used donkey before for messages, and Father, You use little doggy today. I pray that we just heed Your word today, Lord, and if we find ourselves lost right now, that we'll stand in the middle of that cornfield, that God will look up and get focus. Get focus on the main reason we're in there and how to get out of there. May our eyes always stay upon Your cross, Jesus. And may we realize we're not in this thing alone. Just as my sister called me for help, may you learn to call one another for help, for prayer, and trust in You, Lord. God, we continue to lift up our children today and our children's children. We speak a hedge of protection over them, declaring their weapon formed against them will prosper. We seek wisdom for our school board as they make decisions on teaching our children. And God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president and his establishments, that they will seek You, that the laws that they pass will line up Your word. God, we pray for those who are bent in destroying our nation, tearing down, God, what You built. We pray that they be removed from power. We pray for justice to be served. But God, that Your mercy be applied. Because Your heart, God, Your heart, You want to see no one perish. We pray for wisdom in the upcoming elections, that we can see candidates who stand upon your principles, who has put faith in You. We pray for a hedge of protection around Donald Trump and around all those who are standing up for truth and for our Constitution, Lord. God, this week, use us to encourage one another and to reach out to the lost and the hurting, that we may share the truth, the love and the peace and the joy that a relationship with God brings to us through the Son, Jesus. God, through all this, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.